Her name was Miss Ruth. We were working on a home in Good Works. It was a Northern Chester County summer mission week, and Miss Ruth sat in a wheelchair, limited access in a house that didn't fit the seat she was in. So the work was to navigate the space with such a device. She watched with gratitude and chatted kindly with us. And since this was the early 90s, she offered us Kool-Aid in the hot of the summer. It was our job that week to make her bathroom and her bedroom a place where the wheelchair could fit. But what I remember most was on Thursday. She pulled me aside and she said, "I have a blessing for you. I have a blessing for you." She took her worn hands and she laid them on my shoulders. And she said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." The words of the Beatitude she offered to me as a blessing. And there was a bookmark to go along with it I still keep in my youth Bible. It was a prophetic call for me to lean into, a blessing that she offered. You see, blessings have that kind of power. It's a blessing that can chart the course of a life and open a heart in a way it hadn't thought about before. As we continue in Genesis, our biblical story zooms from the wide screen of the fall of the Tower of Babel in on one specific man and his family in the country of Ur. We there see Abram, son of Terah, brother of Haran, uncle of Lot, husband of Sarai. We know very little else at this moment about this man named Abram besides God called him and blessed him. Last week, we heard that the people tried to make a name for themselves, the building of that Tower of Babel. And here, we hear that God will make Abram's name great. God, who's been in the first 11 chapters of the Bible in big events and experienced some disappointment in the way that humanity has responded. God, who has chosen Abram, a foreigner. God starts God's great covenant with someone other. And God calls him to go. No directions exactly. Just go where I send you. And Abram responds with a blessing. Now, you and I can very quickly imagine there was lots of conversation between Abram and between God, but none of it's recorded. The rabbis and the early Christian writers have speculated on whether Abram was really as willing as he led on, whether Sarai had something to say about this move that they were going where they didn't know. But all we have in the scriptures is go. And he offers blessing. Abram chooses to believe God's blessings for him, even though it sounded incredible. Journeying without a clear destination, a great nation without any children to follow through. Abram could well have pointed to the fear of the unknown. What's this going to be? Where I'm going? He could have very well pointed to the fear of others, unknown. He could have very well pointed to the fear of powerlessness. This seems impossible. I have no idea how God's going to work it out. But instead of lamenting his ignorance, the loss of control, he journeys towards, who knows, the unknown. instead of the fear of the stranger, he ultimately is the universal blessing for the whole of the earth. You see, Abram believed God could do the impossible. It's pretty incredible to think. The call of Abram is our call. The blessing of Abram is our blessing. Every time you and I hear God's voice, feel a nudge, have a bit of uncomfortability in our stomach, and think it's a little bit more than dinner, God is moving within us where we would go, where God calls. Go, says the Lord. Go, I'll show you as you go. You will be blessed. And those who you bless, I will bless. And those who you curse, I will curse. Throughout the Bible, these kinds of blessings are spoken. God speaking blessings to people, people offering blessings to God, and people offering blessings to one another. In fact, this is what we do in worship. This is our benediction, our good word, our last word, in which we offer the blessing of God to go with you through the week. I wonder how many of you are familiar with this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. From the book of Numbers, that was Aaron, Moses' brother's blessing as a priest to the people of Israel. We today often use that blessing amongst ourselves, inviting God's very presence to be among us. Sometimes I think it's a bit unfair that clergy get all the fun in this. There's some privilege in being able to pronounce blessing in others' lives, in being present in those difficult moments and those celebrations of joy. Across the lifespan and lots of experiences. But blessings are not just the realm of clergy. No, our biblical narrative says that all of God's people can offer blessing to one another. Now, I have to say, in the Jewish tradition, and we lean upon this, God is always blessed first. Regardless of who else or what else might be blessed, all blessings, did you notice it in our songs, begin with blessing God first. Some variation of blessed be the Lord our God, King of the universe. Do we not say the same thing? God bless you as you sneeze or cough or whatever else might come out. Perhaps it sounds like this. Blessed be the Lord for the crop of zucchini that is abundant in the garden. It's about that time of year. Blessed be the Lord when I am found outside of my house with the keys locked inside and all of God's creatures are watching me try to get inside of the house. Blessed be the Lord when I'm cleaning out the couch and I found some extra change in the cushions. Being in the mindset of offering blessings changes us. Blessings attune us to the God who is already present. Blessings change our perspective. You see, bidden or unbidden, God is present. Imagine how our perspective might change if we saw the screaming toddler in the Walmart parking lot, not as something to walk around, but as an opportunity to offer blessing to a parent who's probably pulling their hair out after another sleepless night in which the teeth are trying to come in that sweet child. imagine how our perspective changes when we encounter a car cutting us off in the lane and we choose, hard though it be, not to scream and demonstrate our collection of expletives, but rather offer blessing for safety for one who probably needs it more than we do. Imagine how our perspective changes when we see an older individual walking ahead of us, keeping us from going where we want, and instead offer blessings of strength and peace to one who's accumulated years and experiences. You see, blessing radically changes the ordinary. It claims the quotidian as holy. One of my favorite privileges is blessing homes. From room to room, offering blessings and prayers in each of the spaces reflective of their purposes. Some of us aren't familiar with this practice, but it's a gift that holiness is not a place we visit on Sunday morning, but where we find ourselves throughout the week. Noticing God's presence is the calling that we have. Isn't it a different response to your own home to think about your kitchen or your bathroom or your bedroom and what blessings might be offered in those places? The Episcopalian Church has a specific blessing written for the bathroom in that blessing book. It talks particularly about being mindful of your bodies. What a gift that could be for all of us. You see, blessings do not confer holiness. The holiness is already present. It's noticing where God is moving around us. It's offering a blessing to the industrious spider seated beside us, who we'd rather say something else to, or proclaiming blessings of distance to the caribou you might see from the tour bus and hoping they remain distant. It's drawing our attention to what God has already done. Blessings are not to sugarcoat difficult situations or ignore the complexity of our time. Blessing decides my choices are curse or blessing. And I'm going to let God work out exactly how it gets adjudicated over time. Blessings draw us nearer to God. In blessing, we glimpse God's delight in humanity. To pronounce a blessing on something is to see it from a divine perspective. To pronounce a blessing is to participate in God's own initiative. To pronounce a blessing is to share God's own audacity. This, my friends, is our responsibility, is our calling. You see, we're a bit like Miss Ruth. When we follow a hunch, when we pray for guidance, when we offer words, not because we're the ultimate authority, but because we notice where God is already moving. We know then the power of a blessing in calling others to God's presence. So my challenge for you is to step outside of your comfort zones. Many of us don't offer blessings beyond the God bless you when you sneeze, and offer blessing to those around you. Today we get a great opportunity to try this out. Sorry to be the guinea pigs here, Littner family, but you get a chance to bless Jamie and John, Hannah and Asher, as they transition, as they hear God say, go and follow God's call. Perhaps for you, you'll bless children as you see them going by your house. Or perhaps you'll bless the one who kind of annoys you a little bit, asking God to help you notice where God is working. God is calling you to go and to bless. because those who you bless, God will bless also. This, my friends, is the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.